Are you asking me the inspiration for the story or how I came to write a story all in rhyme? Because they're two different things.
If you could do a sort of mashup answer, that would satisfy both.
We've already been talking about mythical creatures, and the inspiration, the kernel of the sort of the main plot of the story, is came from the idea that when I was a kid, this may be completely in my imagination, but my perception of my lifetime is that it's gone through a period where when I was young, when I was, 5, 6, 7, you could sometimes read about UFOs and new photographs of the Loch Ness Monster, new photographs of the Sasquatch in regular newspapers that sometimes... Maybe I grew up in a family where everyone was reading tabloids all the time, and I thought they were regular newspapers, but it seemed to me that sometimes you could open, you know, the Toronto Star, and you would see strange lights over the skies of Mississauga on Saturday.
Right.
And there would be a quote from a police officer who could corroborate these lights. And corroborate the story. And over my lifetime, it seemed like there were fewer and fewer of these, at least in the mainstream press. They were getting sort of relegated to the fringes. And I was kind of thinking about this and wondered, had something happened to all of these creatures? Like,
right.
Maybe they're not in the news because they're not around anymore.
Like, is someone kidnapping them?
What would happen? Why? Who would do that? Maybe they were kidnapped, and who would want to kidnap them? And that was kind of the main plot of the story. So that was kind of the idea for the plot. But then the reason I wrote it all in rhyme is not because I wanted to write the rhyming novel. I was guided by folly and ignorance. I think those are my two assets, is what I tell people, the folly and ignorance. I didn't know what I was doing at all. I thought that, A, the book was going to be much shorter. I planned an idea that I remember planning 5 chapters. So that became 20 chapters. Each chapter was way longer than I thought it was going to be maybe a slightly long picture book.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what I was getting into. I also didn't know how hard it would be. To write in rhyme. I certainly hadn't written poetry in this form before. I had no idea what I was doing. And I guess in that sense, Big Brother was right, that ignorance is strength.
Yeah, really. Well, you did a great job. I mean, you turned your sort of epic poem kids book into a masterpiece. But I'm wondering now, from some of the tone, you know, you sometimes resist the future of writing constantly in rhyme. Has the publishing world put this sort of crown on your head now? Are you the new Dr. Seuss?
I don't think so. I think I've resisted that so vehemently that I think I've dissuaded people from saying that, although some people have said it, and I find it extremely flattering, but I also deny that I don't think there is a new Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss is one of a kind. There's no other Dr. Seuss. And, I did write another book in this style.
Uh-huh.
I finished it last week. So,
congratulations.
I did return to it. I did say I would never do it again. Like, I did say never again, and we have old adages about the word never for a reason.
James Bond was teaching you something about that.
Indeed, yes.
I love the working title. Are we allowed to leak it?
Yeah, I think that right now, because it may change, so yeah, sure, you can. Right now it's called Prince Pugly of Spud and the Kingdom of Spiff. And it is that's one of those titles that kind of tells you the story right there. it's like a medieval comedy about these two kingdoms, and one kingdom is very posh and chic and elegant, and the other one is, of course, Spud, the Kingdom of Spud, where people aren't quite as spiffy, and sort of the rivalries and silliness that goes on between them.
And does it reference the worlds of Zorgamazoo at all, or
it does not? This is just This is a, and again, you know what? I made the same mistake again. I don't know. History is doomed to repeat because the reason I chose this story, this Pugly and the King, this medieval comedy and completely different, was because I thought it would be short. I said, oh, well, this really will be a picture book, but I'll toss a picture book their way to kind of keep the wolves at bay. My publishers were asking for, why don't you do another rhyming? Come on, rhyme. You want to do it. Come on. You'll love it. And I was under a lot of pressure to do that. So I said, oh, I'll just write a picture book. And, of course, wasn't thinking that's exactly how Zorg and the Zoo started. So this is now, it's not quite as long as Zorg and the Zoo, but it's getting there. It's more than two-thirds the length of Zorg and the Zoo. So,
see, the tendrils of fate are at work, Robert. We're going to just go ahead and give you your honorary doctorate right here on Books for Breakfast. You are now, you're not replacing Dr. Seuss, but you are Dr. Rob now.
Okay, fair enough.
Dr. Rob, and we need to come up with a good rhyme for that, but we'll write it on your degree.
Oh, okay, thank you. All right, that's good. Nothing says honorary degree like a good limerick.
That's right. Hey, I feel remiss if I don't at least, I wanted to talk longer about both books, and I loved your second book, which wasn't in rhyme. In 2010, you put out a book called Dust City, and maybe I'll just, in a nutshell, it's basically that one of the stories of the son of the big bad wolf from mythology has a chance to sort of, write the family name and prove through a series of strange murders that perhaps his big bad wolf dad wasn't so murderous after all. And there's fairies and ogres and Jack with the magic beans shows up. And so is this still rich territory for you? Are you going to keep including fairy tales and mythology?
That's a good question. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where ideas come from, and sometimes they come out of left field. And yes, I do. I really like mythology, fairy tales. I find them really interesting, and I do like engaging with them directly. I do like engaging with them obliquely as well. But I mean, Zorg and the Zoo and Dust City are both like head on. These are fantasy worlds that feature these creatures and fairy tale characters. I think of Dust City as being inspired by the grim oeuvre. It's kind of inspired by their work. It's not quite take these characters and put them in. They are the characters, but I've kind of tweaked them in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, it's almost as if you're saying this is what true fairy tales sound and taste like. You know, they're a little darker.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, the inspiration for Dust City was looking at the grim fairy tales, saying, "Whoa, they're not just violent; they're grisly and vindictive, and they're kind of difficult reads." And I thought, if you updated them to a modern world, you would have a hard-boiled crime story. You would have a kind of a pulpy crime story in an urban environment. So that's what Dust City is exactly that. Which turns out that was pretty good. I wrote that book. I wrote a very early draft of that book years ago, and I wasn't sure anything was gonna. I mean, it was a very short little, almost just like a synopsis. And it turned out that the book came out just at the right time because fairy tales are everywhere right now.
Yeah,
and it's been good. I think it's been good. I you never know.
Well, you're on the OLA Awards list again. Congratulations.
So yeah.
Robert, dear listeners, Robert won in 2010. He won the Silver Birch Award for Zorg and the Zoo, and now he's back on the OLA Awards list for Dust City, and it's Red Maple this time. Is it
very, very good books on that list? Yeah.
Oh, it is. I know. I hope you win, though, man. I love this book. But is it validating at all to be? I mean, here's an award where the kids actually get to vote. The kids are actually choosing.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think those awards are really, really special because there's not a lot of literary awards that are like this, where readers vote on their favorite books. That most literary awards don't work like that. They're juried panels, there's judges. This is people just saying, what do we like best? And I always find that there's a couple of really famous sort of quotes. One, Isaac the Chevy Singer, he's a writer, but he did a book called Stories for Children that is sort of Jewish folktales that he, original Jewish folktales that he wrote himself. And he has an essay in the back of that book that says, children are the toughest literary critics because you can't fool them with anything that adults like. You can have beautiful prose, and there's no reason you shouldn't, but beautiful prose alone isn't going to capture a child's imagination. And I think that you shouldn't get rid of all that other stuff, the thematic elements or thematically linked subplots. You can do that, but what ultimately you need, like, story and character, and you need the real sort of foundational nitty gritty of telling a story to capture a kid's imagination. So he kind of makes this argument that that's what makes it so hard to write for kids, is you can't trick them by being sophisticated. You can't, and I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I read books, there are books that I read just because the prose is so beautiful, and I will go from sentence to sentence just going, that is a beautiful sentence, do that again, thank you, and do it again, thank you.
Yeah.
And I can read through almost a whole novel like that, but a kid can't. A young reader wants an old time story, and that's really, really difficult. So the idea that here's an award where you are being rewarded by sort of thousands of the toughest critics in the world, I think it's very, very special.
Yeah, well said, Robert. And just so you know, as one of your readers, I think you do both. I think you tell great stories, and I think you craft beautiful sentences. It's a real treat to speak with you. Thanks for making the time. Can we go out with a little reading from Zorga Mizu?
Okay. Well, I said it was anapestic tetrameter, and I'll just do just the very, very beginning, the first two or three stanzas of how it starts. Zorga Mizu begins like this. Here is a story that's stranger than strange. Before we begin, you may want to arrange a blanket, a cushion, a comfortable seat, and maybe some cocoa and something to eat. I'll warn you, of course, before we commence, my story is eerie and full of suspense, brimming with danger and narrow escapes, and creatures of many remarkable shapes, dragons and ogres and gorgons and more, and creatures you've not even heard of before. And faraway places, there's plenty of those, plus menacing villains to tingle your toes. So ready your mettle and steady your heart. It's time for my story's mysterious start.
That's Robert Paul Weston. That was great. That was great. Robert Paul Weston reading from his 2008 novel, Zorga Mizu. Also check out his amazing novel from 2010, Dust City. And just, you know, Robert, I think you're going up and up. I think we're going to watch your career. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Okay, no, thanks, Dan. It was a pleasure. Thank you very much.
We'll stay in touch.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll do.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.